Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes. It's that time again. It's 8 o'clock on the East Coast, Eastern Standard Time, and it's the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, as usual, in this fine Thursday evening, engaging in conversation and giving you information about the wonderful world of fantasy sports and politics. I'm glad to be back after a hiatus for a week. I had two birthdays, one for my other half and one for me, that we celebrated for a few days. I'm back now, ready to go. We have a wonderful show online for you tonight. We're going to talk a little NFL, some NBA, and some ding, 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 ding. We're going to be talking about some boxing if we can get our guest, Gabriel Montoya of MaxBoxing.com. If we can get him on the line, we're having technical difficulties, or I'm having technical difficulties on the board. I'm unable to see anyone calling me, so I have my two co-hosts that I called so they can get on the line. Let's bring them in now. We're talking about Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. Talk to me, guys.
Hey, this is Jeff the Joker. It's 8 o'clock, and I'm ready to rock.
What's going on, people? This is Black the Bookie. Hope everybody had a nice Kentucky Derby. Hope you cleaned up well.
Let me put it this way. On the Kentucky Derby, you had to go a long way, quite naturally. First time in 138 runnings of the Kentucky Derby that post position won. So you had to be one hell of a handicapper or just play the horse by its name. I'll have another, because it was Cinco de Mayo, the day of celebration. So there was a lot of people, especially inexperienced and novice horse players, I can guarantee you, played that horse because of the name and not because they thought he could win the race. What do you guys think about that?
It's a good
perfect
point.
Perfect name for a horse, my friend.
That is a very good name for a horse, I must agree. I follow racing. No, not actually racing. I mean horse racing, not auto racing. I follow racing casually. Usually I'm a little more knowledgeable before the Derby, but, you know, for whatever reason this year I wasn't following it too close. But I prefer trotters, but, you know, thoroughbreds are okay too. And usually I try to watch the Triple Crown races. That's one of those sports that's not as popular as it used to be, but it's still going on.
Yeah, it's still going on, and it was, I think, a record crowd in Churchill Downs for that race. And unfortunately, the horse that came up second is the horse that I liked. I thought coming at the top of the stretch, the horse was going to win the race. Halfway through the stretch, I knew I was wrong. When I saw the I'll Have Another decide to come out of the clouds and overtake my horse. But it is what it is. I said it on Sunday, on my show on Sunday, and I'll say it again here, and I'll say it leading up to the race, that I think Pimlico Track in Maryland is very conducive to the racing style of Bodemeister, because he's a front-running horse, and Pimlico is a speed-favoring track. Quite naturally favoring front runners, and it's hard to close in on a race, especially if it's a mile and 3/16, which is a shorter than a mile and a quarter. I think Bodie Meister is going to be a favorite in that race. I don't see I'll have another. I'll make this bold statement. I don't think I'll have another. We'll win another Grade 1 race. How's that?
Well, you're down on the horse already. I mean, he won one of the biggest races. You don't think he's going to win ever again?
No. I said it about a couple other horses, namely Giacomo, and he did not win another Grade 1 race. He won some graded races, maybe a Grade 3. I don't think he even won a Grade 2, but he never won another Grade 1 race. I like the horse to not win another Grade 1 race. This was his 15 minutes of fame or 2 minutes of fame. I don't think he's going to win another Grade 1 race. So that's my opinion. I got this number. I'm going to try to call our guest here and see if we can get him on the line and go from here. Let me just put this in real quick, see if we can get him here. Let's see if we can get our guest here.
A mailbox belonging to 3234284920 is full and cannot accept new messages at this time. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Okay. Let me see if I can try him a little. Did he text you, Black, or was that the? Is that?
Yeah, he just sent me a DM 2 minutes ago.
Okay. I'll try him again and see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to get our guest here. Like I said, we're having technical difficulties. Otherwise, I would see callers on the line. I don't see any callers in my my board, so I can't. I don't know if anyone's calling or on the line waiting. Hello.
Hello, this is Gabriel.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We have the a boxing aficionado on the line. His name is Gabriel Montoya from MaxBoxing.com, and he also has his own website, which is GabrielMontoya.net. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Gabriel Montoya. How you
Thank
doing,
you
there, Gabriel?
Thanks. I'm doing great. I really appreciate it. I'm actually the GabrielMontoya.net is kind of floating in cyberspace, a little under construction. I'm working on something a little different, trying to get it going. But the main sites that you can catch me on are Twitter, at Gabriel_Montoya, Facebook somewhat, but mainly Max Boxing, that's where I write, and LeaveItInTheRing.com.
Okay.
How you guys doing?
Not bad. We're doing well. Now, let's jump right into the fray. Jump into the ring with both feet. We're going to be talking about a couple of things that have been happening lately. Before I jump about something that you broke, I want to talk about what took place on Cinco de Mayo. I imagine you were at that fight, I want you to give us your synopsis of that fight and what you thought about what both sides brought to that fight on Saturday.
I actually had a fifth-row seat center, and I declined to go because Floyd Mayweather should have been in jail for that fight. He pleaded guilty to domestic violence, putting his hands on the mother of his children. Because he had a TBA with the MGM Grand against, some fun to be named later on HBO, the judge moved the sentence. I didn't agree with that. I thought he should have gone to jail just like everybody else. And so I didn't go. As far as the fight itself, I thought Floyd looked off. I thought he looked a little old. And I thought Cotto fought a brilliant fight. You know, he has created this combination with his trainer Diaz, where they kind of shoot the jab at the shoulder, then attack the chest, and then kind of work their way up. A four-punch combination, and that right hand kept coming. You know, it kept showing up. It's the most bloodied I've seen Floyd. He kind of reminded me of Roy Jones when he got knocked out against Glenn Johnson. He kept smiling and acting like nothing was wrong, but things were wrong in that fight. I thought it was much closer than the scores. I thought Floyd showed new dimensions, though. You know, he showed some guts that maybe we didn't know he had. These are the things we always wanted to know about him. You know, what do you like in a firefight? And we kind of found out. I think his offense is a little limited. He's a little older than we realize, but still a defensive master. And he pulled it out. I mean, he clearly won. You know, there's no question about that. Good fight. First time in a long time I could say that about a Floyd fight. Like, from start to finish, really good fight.
Okay. And quite naturally, he won a unanimous decision in that fight. So, but in your opinion, you don't think it was, you thought it was a little closer than what the scorecard had? Because I don't even think they gave him, they gave Cotto maybe 2-3 rounds at the most?
Yeah, you know, it really just felt like he didn't even have a chance, you know? With the way those scores were, it was like, oh, I guess he just was never going to win this fight. And it's just kind of wrong. You know, he worked really hard. I thought it was 7-5. I guess maybe I could watch it again and say 8-4. Because, you know, Cotto was working hard but not working smart. But generally, he was right there in the pocket kind of doing the fight that he wanted to do. And that's, you know, being generalship, that's a lot of things. I didn't feel like he got really a fair shake, but that's kind of modern boxing, you know. The favorite always is just right out there in front, and the other guy's got to do something drastic in order to win. And even then, you know, he doesn't always get it. So it's
right. Well, and there was an undercard with Alvarez versus Mosley. Give me your opinion on that fight. Because in my opinion, I really enjoyed that fight. I thought that was a pretty exciting fight, even though you could see that Mosley was old and really wasn't the fighter he used to be. But talk to me about that.
Yeah, you know, I think Mosley, you know, some people said that he redeemed himself. I'm like, dude, with a career like that, he doesn't have to redeem anything to us, you know. I thought he did a great job, you know, in terms of kind of pushing the kid and making sure that he just didn't give in as soon as the kid got tough. I think, you know, Alvarez did a really good job. He showed a fluidity that I didn't think he had. He seemed to look better, but, I mean, it's Shane Mosley. There was some resistance, but not much. It was more like he just didn't want to go away. He didn't want to get knocked out. So I thought it was a solid, you know, passing of the torch, I guess. You know, it's just one of those things that's just part of our sport, you know. The old guy gets beat up by the young guy, and then we hopefully get something better out of it, you know.
Okay. All right, now let's get to this now. Now, this fight that we're going to talk about now was a highly controversial fight when they first fought in the winner's hometown. Now, they were supposed to fight in about a week, a little more than a week. And now,
right,
what happens, I think you broke this story about Lamont Peterson coming up positive and canceling a fight between Lamont Peterson and Amir Khan. Talk to me.
It was – what a crazy week it's been, man. I had that in my – I won't say exactly how long I knew, but I knew longer than a week before it was broken. But it was one of those things, you know, there's what you know and then what you can prove. And I didn't want to expose whoever, you know, I had a couple of sources that were feeding me information. I didn't want to expose them, so I waited. When I saw it was starting to break, you just kind of have that reporter's instinct, and you go, all right, it's go time. You got to let it out. I think just bullet points that I do have to get back to. I'm actually at a radio show going that I'm co-hosting right now. I think the bullet points here that are most significant is for the viewers that don't, or the listeners that don't know, he was caught with something called synthetic or exogenous testosterone, meaning
right,
just testosterone that didn't come from his body. That's all it means. Synthetic, it's not necessarily like he was, you know, taking Penn's oil or anything. I mean, it just means it was something that came from, that wasn't him. And why this is significant is there's a thing that they usually measure called the TE ratio. That's how much testosterone you've got in your system. It's usually like 1-to-1. That's a balanced person. That's the average. And in this case, you know, but like in sports, there's limits. In New York and Nevada, it's 6-to-1. For an athlete, that's the limit. You can't be above that, or you're dirty, or you're positive, I should say.
Right.
And everywhere else is 4-to-1. Now, Lamont Peterson's TE ratio was 3.77, which means if he'd have been tested by the Mayweather testing, you know, under USADA, if he'd have just been tested by USADA, which is the United States Anti-Doping Association, or any
right,
other entity other than the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association, which is who caught him, he would not have been caught. And the reason is, because his TE ratio didn't give a red flag, but VADA uses this advanced test called carbon-isotope ratio testing. And all that does is detect whether that's your testosterone or exogenous testosterone. And they popped him on the very first sample that they tried. And every other test that he took was negative. They tested his B sample. That was positive as well. And I guess it later turns out he had taken a pellet in November. He was prescribed this because he has low T. I've seen the medicals on it. I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen a lot of stuff. I tend to believe his story. I've got to be perfectly honest. I think the guy legitimately has a medical condition, and he was given terrible advice to not disclose it. I don't know why they didn't tell Bada. He was the one that asked for the testing. He was, you know, I spent like 45 minutes with him on Peterson the day he was tested that first time. He didn't strike me as somebody that was shady. In fact, he was so dehydrated he couldn't give a sample. And he said, no, give me like 3 hours. We'll do the press conference. I'll hydrate. I want to give you this sample today. This is not a guy looking to hide anything. I think it's a better moment. It's going to change the way everybody is tested, in my opinion, from the Olympics on down. I mean, they're taking this data and putting it for the World Anti-Doping Association, and they're looking to change and use CIR, or carbon isotope ratio testing, as a screen test, because this is unprecedented. It's never happened, and yet it worked the first time. So I think the game just changed. You know, and it's unfortunate, but I think the game is not designed – you know, the drug anti-doping game is not designed to catch a guy like Lamont Peterson. It's designed to catch a cheater. I don't think he was taking this for a competitive edge. I've spent the last 2 years of my life in this community learning this stuff. That's just my take right now. And something may come out, Lamont may go, you know, I confess, you know, I did it. But I think that really right now it's just an unfortunate situation. But at the same time, a glorious situation for the anti-doping community. This is a huge victory.
Okay. Hey, Black, you got something for...
Yeah, Gabriel, this is Mike. I was the one that reached out to you on Twitter. But do you think that this will have anything to do with maybe possibly like a fatigue syndrome or something like that?
What's that now?
I said, would this possibly have anything to do with something maybe like a fatigue syndrome or anything like that?
I think what happened is, you know, it happens. You know, guys get, low testosterone. It does. I know people. It's rare to get it and somebody so young is the problem.
Right.
I think that's what's really thrown people like, well, wait a minute. You know, the guy's like 28. But it does happen. There's a small segment of people. And he was complaining about fatigue. He couldn't concentrate. And I know guys in the gym. I train pretty often. I spend a lot of time in the gyms. And you can train and look good and be low T. You know, and you feel like, I'm not quite getting the same out of my workout. And some guys, you can kind of bury yourself a little bit. You can kind of kill your testosterone, from what I understand. I'm still learning some of this stuff. Just by overtraining, not eating right. Some guys, you know, I do 2-a-days or 3-a-days. Some of these young boxers, they don't really understand. They still do the old school. They don't understand the new school. You got to rest. You know, you got to do 2 days on, 1 day off. And they might be just killing their bodies a little bit. And then things start to shut down. And, you know, the endocrine system is a difficult system. It's a tricky system, where you could be doing one thing and shut down a whole other part of your body. And usually that happens when you're using anabolic steroids. But Peterson, I've got letters from an endocrinologist who would know, and another doctor that said they checked him out, and he doesn't look like a guy. His system doesn't say he abused anabolic steroids. So I think people need to look at it in totality. Everybody's calling him Peterson and PEDerson and all that. I think, yeah, I guess that's funny if it's not your life, but we need facts here right now and a bit of compassion and ability to see the full picture, which I don't think most people have.
Okay.
Now what are they going to do now? Because I'm hearing reports that Peterson might get stripped of the belts. Is there any truth to that?
I would think that he's going to be stripped. I mean, there's also a political element to this. In my opinion, Golden Boy was happy to not have this fight. They moved off of it pretty fast. Nobody really waited. I find it funny that the Nevada State Athletic Commission and Golden Boy were complaining that nobody told them soon enough about this problem. And yet, when it came time for Peterson to get a hearing as fast as possible, they said, hey, you know, it's going to take time to put this hearing together, man. And I just find that interesting, that when the shoe is on the other foot, Chrysler was like, I'm not going to license him. And based on this evidence, when I looked at the evidence in like 2 minutes, I was like, oh, yeah, the guy looks like he has a medical condition, and he forgot to get a Tui. You know, he screwed up big time. But it doesn't look like he did something, you know, like shady. But the CSAC was like, you know, forget it, no license. And Golden Boy was like, fine, the fight's off. And HBO, I think, is going to give Khan another date. They're going to move past a fight they never wanted, and this rematch. And they'll probably go after Floyd Mayweather in the later part of this year. I think Khan will fight a stiff, like, you know, June 30th, something like that, pretty early July, somebody that's really easily beatable. And then he'll move up to 147. Maybe he'll even do 147 at that weight. And he'll fight Floyd. Whereas Peterson, I think he's got a long road, you know, to hoe. He's going to have to redeem his name, get back in the mix, fight some fights, and really fight his way back. But he's a good person, and people like him. I think if he handles this right, he could be okay. You know, it's going to be a long time. I mean, look at Margarito. You know, people still call the guy a cheater. And I'll tell you what, there's what you know and what you can print. I don't consider that guy a cheater. And I'm not a Margarito homer by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot more to that story that's never been printed. Hopefully one day I'll print it.
So you don't see a Peterson Khan fight anytime in the within the next year? Is that
no? I think Khan will be. It's like Prescott. Oh, you got to put yourself in a position, even though you knocked me out or even though you beat me. Khan will claw his way out of that one. You know, I mean, to be fair to him though, he didn't test positive. He took the most stringent tests. He was willing to do it. He passed them. As far as I know, everything has been passed. You got to applaud that. You got to applaud Golden Boy too. I don't think that Golden Boy was fully prepared for what happened, and I find that odd. This is the sixth time they've used extra testing: three with USADA, three with VADA, and yet they're flipping out that somebody got caught beforehand, and that we didn't know soon enough, and we have to cancel a fight. It seems odd to me. Your sixth time, you would have been prepared for this, and yet they're acting very emotional. Makes me very suspicious, to be perfectly honest.
Right. How long you been covering boxing, and were you a boxer at one time?
No, I was never an actual boxer. Mexicans, I've been watching boxing my whole life, which is a lot longer than I'll say. I started boxing around 19 at a place called the Washington Neighborhood Center. This guy, Don Connolly, who had Tony Lopez and Duane Garza, taught me for about 9 months, somewhere in there, 6-9 months. Then from there, I just kind of trained myself over the years and was doing other things. I did theater for like 20 years as an actor, director, producer in my professional theater. And then about 6 years ago, I was on a website, on a forum, arguing about, I didn't even know these things existed. I started arguing with people about boxing, debating. And about 6 months in, I became friendly with one of the writers and the owner, and it was decided I'd write an article. I wrote one, and then three articles later, I think, I was in Vegas covering Castillo Corrales 3, which never happened, my first big story. And I've just been addicted to it. I moved to L.A. like 4 years ago, something like that, going on 5, to get closer to the game and just really commit myself to doing this for a living. And it's basically just where I'm at now. You know, it's kind of a dream come true. It's a trip. It's not what I ever expected to have happen. But when I came to L.A., I said, it's either ESPN or it's Max Boxing. I want those jobs. I want to do this professionally, and I want to do this right. And it turns out that Max Boxing was the right job for me because Jeep Kim's great boss. I mean, if he doesn't know, nobody knows. You know, my boss and writing partner there and co-host on the next round. He's just the ultimate insider and a really great boss. I mean, throughout all this, I've been breaking stuff. I literally didn't sleep for about 30 hours heading into this morning around 9 a.m. And I just passed out. My stories weren't finished, but he was just like, get them right. You don't have to be first. Just get, I know you know more about this. Just get them right. And get them out when you can. And I'll do my radio show, and then I'll probably sleep all, won't sleep all night, and I'll write some more. But there's an incredible freedom working for Max Boxing, and that you're free to do whatever you want to do. You're free to write what you want to write within reason, as long as you back it up with facts, and I generally do. So it's been great, man.
So tell us about the writer versus fighter. I guess you have something that you do on YouTube. Do you do that anymore, or was that something brief?
What's that? Oh, the fighter versus writer, that's pretty funny. It came up really random. My friend, my producing partner, Mark Richardson, we have a production company called Crime and Bone Entertainment. And we work on like web stuff, and we've got a bunch of stuff kind of cooking. And we're both like old theater friends. And so like I still am in that realm. I'm still going to return to directing and producing, maybe acting at some point, but I'm mainly right now. And the fighter versus writer thing happened. We were at my house. And I had won a Wii at a Christmas party, And so we're playing Wii Golf, and he was working for, like, a social media company. And he said, wouldn't it be weird if we, like, live-streamed us playing golf and we took questions? And we could use your Twitter account to draw people in. Sounds fun. So we did that. The next night, we did it even more. We had a little larger audience. And then by the third day, I was like, let's get a fighter and we'll play Fight Night against this guy. And we did a much more live version where you could see it on live stream or Ustream. And it was like a picture-in-picture. You could see us. And Ishii Smith was our first fighter. He's still our middleweight champion. And then it just kind of developed over, like, the next 6 months to a year when the new game came out and we found a better location and we decided to do it more in-studio and kind of web-friendly, real 5 minutes back, you know. But it's a fun show. We're still trying to sell it. You know, we've met with some big production companies, but we're not going to make another episode, I think, until we actually sell it. You know, it's just too much getting these fighters to come out, man. We actually went to Riverside trying to hunt Chris Areola, which should have been a show all its own. We never found him, but it was pretty funny trying to. He was bit by his dog. It was pretty funny. He's got the largest pit bull on the planet. And his trainer, Henry Ramirez, is like, no, just go around back. He's probably asleep. And I start climbing the fence, and the largest pit bull I've ever seen in my life comes around the corner. I'm like, oh, Henry, this is a bull. But, you know, I was like bite-sized compared to him. So it's pretty funny. But his job is crazy, man. It's you know, there's days I absolutely hate it. And then there's weeks like this where the world changes. I mean, I've spent 2 years studying PEDs in boxing and in general, studying other people like Victor Conte and you know, Don Catlin, the father of, you know, one of the fathers of CIR, and Margaret Goodman, Justin Fortune, another guy who knows the other end of the arts a bit, just like Victor Conte knows both ends of it. And just learning, dude. I mean, you know, I didn't go to college for this. I left high school 17, you know. So I'm like, I didn't know I was as smart, you know, learning all this stuff. It's pretty fun. Like, all the calls yesterday were like, it was like calling like Golden Boy or different people, you know, and explaining the testing, and like, they didn't even know. I'm like, you guys are doing the test, and you don't even know what this stuff is. And it's kind of fun to share knowledge, you know, to be smartest kid in the class for once.
Well, I know you got a show going on, and you took the time out to spend with us. So we don't want to keep you any longer than you have to be here. Why don't you plug your show and plug anything else that you want to before you go?
Yeah, I work on LeaveItInTheRingRadio.com. We're on Thursdays, 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can catch us on iTunes, also Leave It In The Ring Radio. Plus, just catch me on Twitter, at Gabriel_Montoya. I always answer back. It's always not so, you know, it's not so scientific all the time. It's a little funnier than that on the Twitter feed. Or you can just email me, you know. But I'm pretty easy to find if you're looking to have some questions answered. So, thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you stopping
Thank
by
you.
And spending some time with us. You take care.
Anytime.
Thanks, Gabriel. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Take care, guys.
All right, bye. All right, for those that were listening, that was Gabriel Montoya, I should say, of MadBoxing.com, or MaxBoxing, excuse me, I always say that, MaxBoxing.com, and also he has his own website, you heard him, he's on Twitter, and he's also on Facebook. The website is maxboxing.com, and then you can find informative information and articles, fight schedules, a lot of information on that website in the world of boxing. That was a good guest. I would tell you, people who are listening, the number to call in, but if you call in, you'll just be sitting in queue waiting to get picked up, and because I have no appearance on my board, to know that you're calling, unfortunately, so it's just me, Black, and Jeff carrying it, talking our butts off about whatever we want to talk about.
Well, let me tell you right now, there are a lot of people here in D.C. that are very, very disappointed that this fight is not going down. They wanted to clear the record up. A lot of people that weren't from here thought that Amir Khan actually won this fight. It was a very close fight. I don't know if any of you guys watched the first one. It was a very close fight. Khan was screaming about home cooking with the refs being from this area, but I thought it was a good fight. I actually did think Peterson won. Khan was doing a lot of shoving and punching, which is really not allowed. The referee warned him several times. I was really looking forward to seeing this rematch, and it's just an unfortunate situation. But Peterson actually asked for this type of testing, and he just happens to get caught up for a medical condition that he had. I wish his handlers would have handled it better, so they could at least told the testing people that, yes, he's suffering from a medical condition, and, yes, this is what he took. But, unfortunately, that's not what happened.
Wow. He didn't have any – he couldn't – after they took the test, it showed up positive. They told him, you showed up positive. Basically, the fight's not going to be taking place. He said, well, I got a medical condition. That's the reason why I was taking this. Because he didn't disclose it before he took the test is
exactly,
the reason why.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. If he would have disclosed it at the time of the testing, I think this fight would still be on.
You know, in my opinion, the times I've heard and seen the actions of Amir Khan, he seems like he's a good fighter, but he seems like he's a whiner. I don't know if you get that impression
he comes off that way, but a lot of people are going to question Peterson. You look at Peterson's body frame; it doesn't look like a guy who's on steroids.
Right.
Rather tall, lanky guy. I mean, honestly, I can legitimately believe Peterson and Peterson's camp saying that they had a medical condition. It's just unfortunate that they didn't disclose it before testing.
Wow. Well, since we're talking about boxing, I wanted to talk to Gabriel about this other fight that I saw up on the that's going to take place. When is this thing going to take place? I think it's in the works. They haven't set a date yet. I'm talking about Chad Dawson and Andre Ward. Dawson being the light heavyweight champion, and Ward being the super middleweight champion. I think
Is that fight set?
I think they're planning to fight each other in September. I don't have a date set. I saw this on the ESPN website, and I wanted to ask him about it. But since you're a boxing, I wouldn't say expert, but since you know boxing a lot better than I do, I was going to ask you about it. You got any comments on that?
Oh, if they're setting that fight up, that's going to be an excellent, excellent fight. You look at the last fight that Chad Dawson had against Bernard Hopkins. It really wasn't much. Bernard, old man, up his old tricks, hold on the left side, hold on the right side, do a little bit of headbutting. That wasn't a really good fight for him to prepare if this match is his next bout. But this will be a definitely exciting fight. Two up-and-coming good fighters.
Okay. It says here that Dawson has fought Tarver twice, Glenn Johnson twice, and Bernard Hopkins twice. So he's fought these guys, and I guess he's looking to move up or move down. I don't know which way they're going to go. One's a super middleweight, and the other one's a light heavyweight. So I guess they have to come on to a happy medium of who's going to go up or who's going to come down.
Yeah, I think most probably, I don't know, Ward will move up. I'm not sure if Ward will move up. Maybe Dawson can move down.
Okay. Jeff, you know anything about these guys, or do you just...
The fight, I think it looks like it'll be on HBO, so that's good. It won't be on pay-per-view. So, sounds like a good fight. You know, I only watch boxing occasionally. I used to watch boxing a lot. Our guest got me thinking about the German test. And, you know, like I said, I used to watch a lot of fights. And I had a friend in college who was a wrestler, amateur wrestler, you know, which is some similarities to boxing, especially when it comes to making the weight. And the thing is, I was thinking about it, when a boxer or a wrestler has to make weight, and same goes for jockeys too. They put their body through torture, you know, with the sweating and all kinds of stuff, and not eating, not drinking sometimes, and something like that might throw off a urine test.
Yeah,
but if you have a medical issue, you know, come on, this is professional boxing. you know, this isn't, you know, backyard fighting. You got to read the fine print. You got to, you know, this is a lot at stake. You got to handle your business.
That's true. That's true. All right, people, let's talk about some NBA. We're talking about the local team, meaning the local team that played the Miami Heat. And the Heat, just their MO is if you, they are.
Did you just say a local team?
Yeah.
How about a local Melo or a local Anthony? I saw no shade to team there.
Wait, what do you mean? What? Okay, now I'm going to give you a chance to explain what you were talking about Carmelo Anthony not being a team player. Is that what
Not Melo being not a team player. I'm saying that your local team only consists of Carmelo. I don't know what you want to call those guys, but that's definitely not a team there. Not a team.
Well, even before Lynn Shumpert and Davis went down with a horrible knee injury, I think they would have given the Heat, I'm not saying they would have won, but I think they would have given the Heat a better showing than the first two games and the last game. The third game was I would say was a pretty good showing of what the Knicks are capable of when they play basically play together, and when Carmelo Anthony plays the way he did. They were very shorthanded, especially in the last two games. Heroic effort by Carmelo Anthony pulled out the game three, but he couldn't do it coming back to Miami. In my opinion, looking at what's going on in the East, which is the least, because the fact is the teams that are left in the East, or the ones that are still fighting, are absolutely, in my opinion, and I don't know what you guys are thinking, are no match for whoever is going to go to the finals in the West. You got Indiana fighting with the Sixers. You got the Atlanta Hawks fighting with the Boston Celtics. Indiana is going to be playing Miami, okay? Atlanta is going to be playing Boston, and Chicago is still playing Philly. So Chicago is still holding on by a thread. Philly's a young team that it's got a shot. I don't know what you guys think about that Philly-Chicago series. You guys want to care to weigh in on that? Right now at halftime, it's 48-40 Philly.
48-40 to Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Chicago will be making their swan song by the end of the night. I think guys are trying to hype up this Indiana and Miami matchup. I don't see anything sexy or exciting about it.
No.
I think the Heat just coast through the East and see who comes out of the West. The East, really, a lot of these matchups in the East do not excite me at all. I don't even think I've watched any series yet.
Jeff, you got anything you want to put in?
You know, late in the season, everybody's saying, you know, it's all about the seeding and whatnot. I think the Knicks maybe could have gave Chicago a run for their money, but, you know, the two teams everybody was trying to avoid were Chicago and Miami, but now Chicago's banged up. I mean, it's the East is for Miami to take. But, you know, maybe Boston will have a last hurrah. Who knows? You know, I was saying Amari needed to hit the glass. I didn't mean it literally, you know.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? I mean, you know that a lot of guys during the season, and I know it was a playoff game or whatever it was, get frustrated.
I know that the New York papers had a wonderful time with that. I saw that the New York Post put glass hole, and then the other New York paper put bloody idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't understand Amari. I don't understand his frustration. I'm not sure what he's really trying to accomplish. I don't think he's really even been right since that knee injury he's had. But that's just my opinion.
Well, he's the highest paid Nick there. He's getting paid like the franchise player, and he's not the franchise player quite naturally.
He doesn't average double digits of rebounds. So I don't see how he can be a franchise player.
He's very inconsistent, and the thing about it, and this is just my opinion, I think him and Carmelo need the ball in their hands, and there's too many mouths to feed for the ball and not enough balls to go around. I don't think the thing about the media is saying in New York is that Carmelo and Stoudemire can't coexist with each other. Not saying that they don't like each other, it's that they can't coexist on the court because their games collide. I don't know what you guys think about that. Give me some feedback.
Oh, there's definitely truth in that. I mean, it stinks, but you know, because the way they play, neither is great without the ball, and the problem is they can't move Amare because of his contract and his injuries. Somebody was saying they should move Carmelo, and I thought, yikes, and then they're going to have, you know, Amare is a franchise player with the bad knees and the bad back. But the thing is, at least, I don't know who they can get for Carmelo, but they can get hopefully another excellent player for Carmelo if they could pull the trigger on it. Just with me, I'd like to see, it hasn't even been confirmed that Mike Woodson is going to be back. I'd like to see him back and, you know, bring back most of the team from this year. Jeremy Lin will be healthy. And just to let these guys play together for a while, let them gel and, be able to have a training camp under Woodson and whatever, because whatever happens with the Knicks, the thing I don't want is anything that'll resemble the Isaiah Thomas era. And that team was a revolving door back then. And sometimes you have to, but that's not the best way to win basketball games.
Black, you got anything on that?
No, I just you know my thoughts on New York. They're a fraud franchise. I don't know what can help them. Mike Woodson, I don't advise bringing Mike Woodson back at all. You might as well just throw the money to Phil Jackson and see if Phil Jackson can figure something out.
Well, no one knows if Phil Jackson is still interested in coaching because he's not the most healthiest person, and he's not the most youngest person either. Phil Jackson's getting up there in age too, and he's got health issues that he's been dealing with the last few years when he was coaching. And nobody knows if he wants to coach or not. If Phil Jackson is inclined to coach again, and he may want to come back to New York as a coach versus a player when he was a player years back.
He doesn't have to get up much. He has that special chair that he had on the sideline, and he can just whistle when he needs to get somebody's attention.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still. A head coach in the NBA still has to put the time in, put a lot of time in and put a lot of effort to be able to effectively coach a franchise full of guys that this would be a bigger challenge than he's ever faced before, because he's always had some beef pieces in Chicago and in L.A. So he wouldn't have the same type of pieces that he had in those two prior locations in New York. Not saying that he wouldn't, but all depends on if the new GM wants to give Phil Jackson or some power that he has to Phil Jackson, and you know, some organizations are willing to do that, some aren't. So it all depends on James Dolan, the ultimate Einstein of the Knicks, that if he wants to reach out to Phil Jackson. I don't think that's going to happen. Just like Jeff, because we're up here in the Northeast, have word that that Mike Woodson is more than likely going to be retained and given an extension on his contract and be coaching the Knicks next season. Now, the thing I'm thinking about this, and I heard it on the way home on sports radio, that Mike Woodson said that Carmelo needs to come in better shape than he was. And basically Carmelo says, well, I was in good shape. I don't want to pick a fight with Mike Woodson, but I thought I was in good shape. So I don't know if you guys heard anything about that. I don't know if Jeff heard anything about that or Black. What do you guys think about the comments I just made about the two guys, Carmelo Anthony saying he didn't want to pick a fight, but he thought he was in shape, and Mike Woodson saying you weren't in shape. And that was one of the problems that we had because you weren't in shape. Talk to me, guys.
I don't believe that Carmelo not being in shape. Carmelo played 66 games like everybody else did. It took a while. It was a shortened season. And it's going to be hard. You see guys going down with injuries right now. I don't think a lot of guys were in shape. That's no knock on Carmelo.
But, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that. And there have been times, just looking at Carmelo, he doesn't look like most NBA stars. I mean, I know the sport is basketball, not bodybuilding. But, you know, most NBA players work with weights, and most of them look like it. But he never has. You know, I mean, the thing is, not everybody looks the same when, you know, if after working out, but he really doesn't have the look of an NBA star, I mean, physically. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's not in shape. One of the winners during the Isaiah Thomas era, Eddie Curry, I mean, that guy looked like a marshmallow. I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, you know, Carmelo could score. I mean, that's the strong point of his game, and you don't see him running out of gas late in the game.
Exactly. So I don't see how they were saying that he wasn't in shape. He came doing a lot of fourth quarters for the Knicks.
It's the appearance, I think, just because he doesn't, you know, he's not ripped. He doesn't have that look.
And I listened to both comments. They had several comments. They weren't sitting next to each other. It was different press conferences. But and they weren't going at each other. It was just the fact is that Woodson was saying that he needed to come in better shape, and Carmelo saying, "Well, I'm not fighting with the coach. I thought I was in shape." It is what it is. But that's neither here nor there. I want to talk about the Miami Heat, okay? They seem like they fell into, before they picked the Knicks apart on last night, they seem like they fell into their typical, and I had a heated argument with my nephew, who happens to be a LeBron lover, and you guys know.
There's nothing wrong with that. But go ahead, tell your story.
Who happens to be a LeBron lover, and you know I'm a LeBron hater, and what happened, he happened to be here, because I had a little thing going on Mother's Day, and he happened to be watching the game, and I'm expressing to him that LeBron and the Heat are front-running players. When push comes to shove, when it gets tight, is when they fold, and it's ironic because that was the closest game that the Miami Heat had of the four games the Knicks had going down the stretch, and the Knicks wound up winning the game. I still believe that the guile and the age of the Celtics who I think will be up against the Miami Heat in the finals, is going to find a way to prevail against the Miami Heat, not because I don't dislike the Miami Heat, but because in playoff games have a tendency to get very tight in the fourth quarter, and it takes a shot or two in the fourth quarter, one way or the other, to win the game or lose the game. And I don't have any faith in the Miami Heat because their track record gives you no faith in the Miami Heat. When it gets tight and close, they don't come through in the end. Either Dwayne Wade or LeBron James, especially LeBron James. I don't know what you guys think about that. If you got comments.
I think that your guys, who I think after this season will be possessing AARP cards, I don't think they can go seven games with the Miami Heat, especially with the I just don't see it. I don't see it. Especially if they're grinding out this long series with Atlanta. I don't see it.
Okay. Jeff, you got any comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, Miami's a team to beat in the East, and the thing is, you know, say what you want about them. Last year, they made it all the way to the finals and came close, and that was still perceived as a failure. If they don't make it to the finals this year, I mean, they'll never hear the end of it.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly. I definitely agree with Joe. There's no way they fall to the Celtics this year, right? If the Celtics make it that far.
Well, let's stop from the East, and let's move over to the West, because the reigning world champions aren't reigning anymore. They got disposed and exposed from the young guns out of Oklahoma. Mr. Westbrook, and I'm calling him Mr. Westbrook because I out of respect, because I gotta give the man his props.
Thank you for finally giving Mr. Westbrook his props. I was wondering when you were going to do that.
If I put my foot in my mouth, which I had done earlier in the season, he proved me wrong. The dynamic three, I'm talking about Westbrook, Durant, and Harden, who came through in the last game to help the Oklahoma win the series in a sweep against the old and slow. And happened in 1 year. That's amazing to me. That as well they played last year, and as well
they moved too many pieces. That was the thing. They moved too many pieces quickly. They got a championship. Everybody was on Willie and Nelly. They brought in Lamar Odom. That backfired on them. Chandler was a big loss. Caron Butler was also a big loss.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I couldn't believe they let Tyson Chandler go in the middle, because he was an enforcer and a defensive presence in the middle, because Dirk definitely wasn't there. I couldn't believe that they let him go. And what happened? Tyson Chandler wins the Defensive Player of the Year in New York. So I'm amazed that they did that. I don't know what Mark Cuban was thinking about. He got full of himself. He was sticking his chest out there, seeing he could let these pieces go and still think that he would have a viable team that could defend their championship. Well, Mark, your team is old. They were slow. Oklahoma was blowing past them left and right in this series, and closed them out. Even though it was just a 6-point win in the last game. They just didn't have enough weapons against Oklahoma. Oklahoma seemed like they learned a lot from last year's experience in the playoffs, and they're going to be waiting for the supposedly L.A. Lakers. If they can close out Denver Nuggets tonight, it'll be Oklahoma and L.A. rematch, which I'm looking forward to. I don't know what you guys think about that. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, you're right on the money about Dallas. I'm curious. Steve Nash's contract is up. Of course, you know, all the geniuses who call Sports Radio New York want Nash in New York. I don't, just because, I mean, as great as he, you know, still is, he's coming off a good year. Someone like him, is at this point in his career, you know, it's year to year. You can't plan too far ahead with a guy like that. I wonder if he'll go back to Dallas. But the irony is, when he was there before, him and Dirk, they didn't win anything. And they were friends. That wasn't, you know, it wasn't the issue, and that usually isn't the issue. Mm-hmm. These guys don't got to be best buddies. They just got to play ball together. But they I think they were tight there, but for whatever reasons, they didn't win back then with those two guys. Who knows? At this point, he might be the right guy for Dallas.
What do you think, Dave?
I think he's another recipient of an AARP card.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he'll be a good fit in New York at all.
Well,
you're talking about a team in New York that has a lot of offensive players and maybe one defensive player in Iman Shumpert.
Right.
You want to bring in another heavy offensive guy? That, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, you're right on
that's
the money
the reason
about
why,
that.
Yeah, that's the reason they didn't win in Dallas. Both of those guys were all offensive with no defense.
Yeah, and Steve Nash is getting older. That means his defense is even getting even worse because he really wasn't a great defensive player anyway.
Exactly.
And he's getting worse. And Jason Kidd says he wants to be a backup now. He's willing to back up who's the point guard out of New Jersey? Darren Williams.
Darren Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, he said he wants to back up Darren Williams. So I don't know. We'll see what happens because Oklahoma disposed of Dallas and San Antonio is laying in the weeds. No one's really talking about San Antonio as much as they're doing. They disposed of Utah and just waiting for Memphis, the winner of the Memphis LA Clippers playoff run to go up against them. We'll see what happens. I like both of these guys, both these teams, Oklahoma and San Antonio, to meet in the finals. But they still have a tough row to hoe in the second stage of the playoffs in the West. And whoever comes out of the West, I think, is going to win the championship. I can't see Miami beating any of these teams Well, I can, but I don't think it, with Miami's MO as a not a closing out team down the stretch in the close game, and what the finals or most of the final games are, I don't think they can do it against any of these West teams that come out of there. We got 3 minutes left in the show. You guys have anything to say before I start promoting what's taking place the rest of the week? And
talking about AARP, Jason Kidd. I mean, he's got to be the oldest player in the NBA. It's not close to it. I mean,
you're right.
When he started his career, they were using a peach basket. But you know, the thing is, you know, joke about it. But some of these, you know, the great players. They commit to it and they stick around a long time because, believe me, doesn't matter how great you were, if you can't get it done anymore, they're not going to keep you around. And don't worry, if Miami is in the finals, the refs will help it go at least six games. They'll keep it close. So, and that does happen in the playoffs.
Here's Jeff with that conspiracy theory. Go ahead. Go ahead, Black.
Well, first off, I would like to point Jerry and Master Taylor to the sports pages, and let's go to a sport called baseball. We're in the National League in the East, the Washington Nationals, as of May 10th, I believe, are still in first place. And let's go Cats tonight. Let's go. Let's get the New York Rangers. Let's do something special in D.C. to get these people excited. They lived through the misery of the Redskins. They lived through the misery of the Wizards. Caps and Nationals is what's going on right now. Let's get behind those guys.
Oh, boy. Okay. When's that supposed to take place? Is that taking place tonight or tomorrow? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night. Capitals game 7 in New York.
In New York, yes. I'm not a hockey fan, but we'll see what happens. I may have bragging rights on Saturday, Black. We'll see what happens. With that being said, I want to thank our special guest, Gabriel Montoya of Max BlackTheBookieBoxing.com for coming on. I want to also thank my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, for joining me tonight. Stay tuned. I shouldn't say stay tuned. Look for us again next week at 8 o'clock. Same time, same station, same channel, whatever. We'll be here all together doing the same things that we do. Also on Saturday, be Vic Gardner as the host on the FSP show with me as a co-host, also Black the Bookie as a co-host. And then again, you'll hear my voice again on the Master Plan, which is at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. I'll be on it for an hour. And then also we have a Change of Pace show, which is Compassion Dakini, what happens to be Kim Fun. She's on at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays. And soon to be coming would be a straight with no chaser. Would be Mac Williams. The date is to be announced. I'll be the co-host on that also show, so I'll be a one busy person during every week. But this show that Mac and I are going to be doing, Mac happens to come from the right. I happen to come from the left.
This is a beautiful Obama Limbaugh matchup shaping up here. I can't wait for this show to get underway.
I can see us butting heads in the ring in the middle somewhere, and I'm waiting for the date when this thing is going to start, because I'm ready to rumble anytime Mac is. Anyway, that being said, it's been a pleasure. Peace be with you. Have a good week until we talk once again. Hopefully my board will be better and I can see who I'm talking to. From Black, Jeff, and myself, the FSP crew show, we're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.